Millions of students took new tests this past school year as part of the Common Core standards that most states have adopted. There's been a lot of suspicion and uncertainty over those tests, though. When it comes to the written or essay portions of the exams, two big questions are, who scores all those answers, and can parents and students trust the results? Well, NPR's Claudio Sanchez went to San Antonio, Texas, where one of the biggest testing companies offered a behind-the-scenes look at its operation.
Off a long stretch of highway in a sprawling, bland office park just northeast of San Antonio, Texas, the British-owned publishing giant Pearson runs the nation's largest test scoring center. Inside, folding tables connected end-to-end fill the cavernous space.
We have roughly 58,000 square feet of scoring space.
That's Jim Logan.
I'm the operations manager, responsible for the physical facility. And we have approximately 100 scores here today.
Two scorers per table work in silence, their eyes glued to computer screens. For 2 months now, these people from all walks of life have been scoring a new kind of reading and writing test developed with federal funds. Now, it's no secret that these tests, aligned with the Common Core standards, will replace old state exams. States are paying Pearson millions of dollars to write the test questions and score the responses. Another organization, Partnership for Assessment of Readiness for College and Careers, or PARC, manages the agreement on behalf of 10 states and the District of Columbia. Their reading and writing tests are being scored at this facility, not by machines, but by humans.
I'm scoring third grade compositions, probably four questions out of maybe 50 questions, a very small portion of an entire test.
Donna Vickers is a retired elementary school teacher.
I've been here at Pearson doing work like this. This is my eighth year. I work almost year-round.
When scoring, Vickers looks for evidence that students understood what they read, that their writing is coherent, and that they used proper grammar. And yet, it's not up to Vickers to decide on her own what score a student deserves. Instead, she relies on a three-ring binder filled with so-called anchor papers, samples of students' writing that show what a low score or a high score response looks like.
And I compare the composition to the anchors and see which score does the composition match more closely.
Now, 8 and 9-year-olds can write some pretty interesting stuff, but the non-disclosure agreement I had to sign keeps me from telling you anything about what they wrote. Nothing. Otherwise, says Pearson, everybody would know what's on the test. So here's a sample task company officials approved from a book titled Eliza's Cherry Trees, Japan's Gift to America. It asks third graders to describe how Eliza faced challenges to change something in America. Students must identify the main idea, draw evidence from the text, and provide supporting details in what they write. A scoring supervisor then makes sure that the final scores are not out of whack with the so-called true scores from those anchor papers we mentioned earlier. There's something else, though, that supervisors check.
Speed is a concern of ours, so we monitor their scoring rates to make sure they're not scoring too fast or too slow.
Bob Sanders, Pearson's director of performance scoring, says everybody should be working at the same pace. Some people need more training than others, but if scorers repeatedly fall short of the company's performance guidelines...
They know they're going to get fired. Just because someone can write doesn't mean they could evaluate a student's response.
The 51 scores Pearson has let go since April were not hard to replace. Pay isn't bad, $12 to $15 an hour if you include bonuses. People without a four-year college degree need not apply. Last year, most of the 14,000 people Pearson hired to score tests had at least 1 year of teaching experience, but it's not required, so the job has attracted all kinds of folks. Stay-home parents and retired military who are often allowed to work from home. Or people like the ones I met, a former lawyer, a retired longshoreman, a bouncer who handles crowd control at concerts, and some like Pat Squires, who's been scoring tests for Pearson and other companies since 2002.
Well, I'm also a college professor.
Squires says some people approach the job thinking that scoring and grading are the same. They're not.
In grading, oftentimes what we're doing is we're taking a look at what a student is doing and maybe marking them off for what they're not doing correctly. But in scoring, you're working against a standard and you're really looking to see what is it that students have done correctly.
Still, as some scorers point out, what test makers say a third or fifth grader should know and be able to do sometimes just doesn't seem right.
You'll see certain things that, whether you agree with it or disagree, they're the ones that have made the rules for you to follow.
Joe Bowker did student teaching in college and has been scoring tests on and off for several years.
We don't know how they've decided whether this is a third grade capable response. You have to leave your opinion outside the door.
It's not up to a scorer or Pearson or Park to say, gee, we think this is too hard for a fourth grader.
That's David Conrady Marin, a spokesman for Park. He says what's developmentally appropriate is not an issue because the states that Park and Pearson work for have already made that decision based on the Common Core standard.
The states have, with lots of educators, have reviewed the material and said this is appropriate to the standards or this is not appropriate to the standards. Our job is to write the test questions that accurately measure whether the student is meeting those standards.
This week, Pearson is supposed to wrap up its work on this batch of tests. The client states will then get the raw scores, and together they must agree on the same cut scores to determine which students are reading and writing at grade level, which ones are not. Andrew Thompson, who oversees the delivery of these raw scores to the states, says the crucial question is this: will educators, parents, and the public at large trust the results?
They don't know what we're doing, so there's a lot of misconception of what we do. And we don't have a way right now to refute that and show, no, this is really what we're doing.
Thus far, Thompson says, most Americans have been in the dark. So the risk for Park, Pearson, and the states is that by trying to be more transparent this late in the game, we'll end up with more questions than answers. Claudio Sanchez, NPR News.